John 1. Have you got your Bibles? Got a lot of scripture here, but part of it is I want to kind of teach from the Word. I mean, I don't want my own ideas, my own opinions coming through. I want it to be the Word of God. When we minister by Word and Spirit. So you got to have some Word with the Spirit. It isn't just flowing in the Spirit. You got to have some Word with it. Verse 1, it says, and a man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. You will find out that in the next chapter here, Mary was the one. It's the same Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with oil. Same Lazarus that he was there who raised him from the dead. We know the story about Lazarus. See, the thing about it is when God raised somebody from the dead, and if that death did end in sickness and he raised them from the dead, they don't have that sickness anymore. It's not in their body. And some people don't believe, well, he still has that sickness. No, no, no. The sickness is gone. If the resurrection power can raise you from the dead and raise somebody from the dead, that sickness will not be there anymore. Verse 3, it says, so the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, Lord, your dear friend is very sick. Notice they didn't even use Lazarus's name because they had a good relationship with Jesus. They knew Jesus. They loved Jesus, and he loved them. You'll see that in the scriptures. Jesus knew them personally. They knew that he was the Messiah, the anointed one. In verse 4, it says, but when Jesus heard about it, he said, Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this. Even the one that Jesus loved fell sick. Well, wait a minute. God loves me. How can I get sick? Because you live in a fallen world. Your body may run down from time to time. That happens. But it does not have to end in death. I'm going to let you know right now. It's like, I talked about last week. I said, no one speaks for me even when it comes to my own testimony. And the thing about it is that even when I'm on my deathbed, it ain't going to be, oh, I'm just tired. It's going to be, I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. Why? Because I'm ready. I'm going to be very, very clear on that. So in case somebody says, oh, insurance. No, no, no. You're not going to be thinking insurance. Not that she would be. Or anybody else. No, dad said this. No, no, no. Dad will say, I'm ready to go home and be with the Lord. Get it straight. When you're ready to go home, be ready to go home. Don't allow that sickness to take you there. And even if it does, guess what? When you get into the presence of God, is that sickness there? Nope. Why? Because there's no sickness in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to have to get used to this mic because when I drop my hands. Jesus is going to receive glory from this. He took it. Jesus took our infirmities. He took it. He took your sicknesses. Stop saying it's my allergies. My allergies are keeping me up. My allergies are, I mean, you know, it's springtime and stuff like that. You know, my allergies is acting up and stuff. I had to get some nasal cord or whatever, you know. It's not your allergies. He took that. Jesus took it. Jesus took your sickness. He took your disease. He took your pain so that you wouldn't have to. He took it. Quit claiming it. There are certain things in the Bible we're supposed to claim, things that are ours. That sickness is not yours. That disease is not yours. Quit claiming it. Cataracts is not yours. Inner ear infection, all that stuff, that's not yours. None of it is yours. It's Jesus. He took it. He took it. So although Jesus loved Mary, Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he loved him. He stayed where he was for the next 2 days. He didn't rush over because he loved them dearly. He loved them. And he didn't even rush over. It was only like a day's journey. He stayed there. Finally, he said to his disciples, let's go back to Judea. But his disciples objected. Rabbi, they said, only a few days ago, the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again? Didn't Jesus just say, let's go back? It's crazy because we're sitting here, we're reading this, and it's like they were with him. I think we would ask these same questions too, because sometimes we could be concerned, but we can read it in hindsight. Okay, if Jesus said, let's go, let's go. If he said, we're going to cross on over to the other side, well, there's a storm coming. What are we going to do? Are we going to panic? No. Let's go. We're still going to get there. If Jesus has spoken to you something in this day and age, guess what? It's going to come to pass because he's going to watch over his word to do what? Perform it. It doesn't matter what people say about you. It doesn't matter what comes your way. It doesn't matter what obstacle may be there. The enemy is going to try to stop and steal the word that is sown in your heart. But guess what? God is going to see that word through. Just stick with it. Stick with it. Verse 9, it says, Jesus replied, there are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. Jesus feared nothing and no one. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, they're waiting for me, but I don't fear them. He walked right through them. They couldn't stop what he came to do. They could not stop him from preaching the gospel. They could not stop him from healing. They could not stop him from delivering. They couldn't stop him, even though they gave every effort. They tried to kill you last time. But it says, but at night there is danger of stumbling because they have no light. Do your work in the day. That means you don't go to, well, I'm going to go out to go witness that sip and span tonight. Are you going to go to the bars and go witness? No. Do your work during the day so you don't stumble. There's a lot of things that can make you stumble at night. Do your work during the day. Then he said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go wake him up. That word wake him up, that phrase means to raise him from the dead. In verse 12, it says, the disciples said, Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better. If he is sleeping, they didn't understand it. They took Jesus literally. They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus has died. They missed the whole meaning of it. You can't wake somebody up from the dead if they're still alive. So he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. I feel like somebody making a joke right here. This stuff is getting too heavy. It just keeps. Remember, so he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Remember the message that Jesus received. Come, so that you may heal him. Come, Lazarus is sick. They wanted Jesus to heal him. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do, when he was going to do it, how he was going to do it. Verse 15, it says, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him. The title of my message today is Believe in the Name of Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus. People back in those days, they believed because they saw the miracles. They saw the works, but they weren't really truly believing the word made flesh. They weren't believing in Jesus. They were believing in the miracles, and they needed to see a miracle every single time they believed. Now, this is Lazarus, Mary, Martha. They knew who Jesus was. They had a relationship with him. He loved them. They loved him. They knew he was the Messiah, but yet they still needed a miracle in order to believe. And I'm going to show you why Jesus truly wept. I mentioned it last week and stuff, but I'm going to show you through scripture. Thomas, nicknamed, verse 16, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let's go too and die with Jesus. Thomas sometimes look at the negative things. He sometimes looks at the negative things. He said, Jesus was not going to Judea to die with Lazarus, and the disciples weren't going to die with Jesus. It was a noble thing to think, hey, I'm going to go die with Jesus. Let's go. But that wasn't the case. He was going there to raise him up. We know that. It says, verse 17, it says, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus has been in the grave for 4 days. Here's some more stuff. On his way there, he's been there for 4 days. What does that mean to Jesus? Absolutely nothing. So what? Absolutely nothing. It doesn't matter how big your problem is. It doesn't matter the report that you may receive or what have you. What his word says is by his stripes, you were what? Healed. They brought a report. He's been in the grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road. It's a day's journey. He stayed there for 2 more days. Now it's 4 days. And it's probably, you know, when they were on their way telling Jesus, is that that's when Lazarus may have died. Because he was sick when they sent the message, and he died while they were on the way there. Verse 18. It says, verse 19, sorry. And many of the people had come to console Mary and Martha in their loss. If your word says, what does your word say? Comfort. If you have it in your Bible, underline that, or comfort or console. And many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. That's something that we're called to do. But see, again, they knew Jesus. They knew the Messiah. There's nothing wrong with consoling someone when they are going through things, but we are told to believe in the name of Jesus. Somewhere down the line, Mary and Martha stopped believing. And how can you tell? Because they were consoling them. You're consoling someone when you know there's no more hope. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the hope of this world. They were consoling them because there was no hope. They stopped believing in the name of Jesus. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you only had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. She knew that if Jesus was there, Lazarus would have been healed. She knew that. Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. She's missing it. Faith isn't future tense. Faith is now. He will rise now. Jesus is flowing in grace and faith. Not that she wasn't wrong, because he will rise again when he comes back. But he was saying now. Martha, Lazarus will be raised up now. In verse 25, it says, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Jesus is the only one who can do that. There is no other savior out there, so-called savior or entity, God, that can do that. If you're Buddhist, you're dead as a doornail. Eternity in the lake of fire. We continue to live with him. To be absent from the body is to be in the presence of God. Verse 26, it says, everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? She says, yes, Lord. She told him, I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into this world from God. She says she has always believed in the Messiah. There is nothing that the Messiah can't do. There is nothing that Jesus can't do. She always believed in him. In verse 28, she says, then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners. She called him there. I said, she called Mary from the mourners and told her the teacher is here and wants to see you. They're there mourning with Mary, and Mary is mourning her brother. So Mary immediately went to him. Verse 30, Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. He was expecting Mary to come by herself, but she came. And look what happens. When the people who were at the house, the mourners, the house consoling Mary, saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. Unbelief followed her there. Why? Because they didn't believe that Jesus would raise him up. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. Check this out. When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him and he was deeply troubled. Other versions, your Bible might say groaning in the spirit. He was deeply angered. Why was Jesus deeply with a deep anger and welled up within him? Why? Because of the first part. He saw her weeping and saw other people wailing with her. She was in unbelief. That's the reason why Jesus wept. It wasn't because he was crying to console her. It wasn't. The people said that. Jesus never said it. And you read on in verse 35 or what have you. You don't have it on there, but you can continue to read. It said they were doing it. Or maybe if he was here, if he was Messiah, he would have saved him. He would have stopped him from, you know, dying or what have you. Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her. Mark 5:35. It says, while he was still speaking with her messengers, arrived from the home of Jairus. This is Jairus, the ruler. And remember, while he was still speaking with her, that's the woman with the issue of blood. Remember, Jairus came, can you come heal my daughter? Right? And then the woman with the issue of blood came. He said, they told him, your daughter is there, dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now. But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, don't be afraid, just have faith. Hold on to your confession. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and what? Weeping and wailing. Same way in John, right? They're there to mourn. They're there to weep. They're there to wail. They're there to console. But here's the thing. What did he do next? He went inside and asked, why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep. That crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. Unbelief. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which means little girl, get up. And the girl who was 12 years old immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Weeping and wailing. Acts chapter 9. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which is in Greek Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and died. Her body was washed for burial and laid in an upstairs room. But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, please come as soon as possible. You don't need to beg God, just for a reminder. You don't have to beg God. That's something that you inherit. It's part of your benefits. So Peter returned with them. As soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were what? Weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes Dorcas had made for them. They were weeping again. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, get up, Tabitha. And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. See? When he came to Mary and Martha, whom he loved, and they loved him, and they knew who he was, it was almost as if it was a disappointment. You don't believe in me? you're weeping here. You allowed these people to come to weep and to mourn and console you, and you knew that I would have raised them up. You knew I would have kept them from dying. People, I don't want us to get to the place to where we just think, well, God can't do it anymore. Believe in the name of Jesus. Believe in the name of Jesus. There was another time where there was a woman, I believe it's in the book of Luke, when Jesus was walking, he was in Nain, and then they were having a funeral procession. And Jesus saw this woman who was crying. They were playing their funeral music and stuff, and then he has compassion on his heart, and then he goes and, you know, he's, don't cry. Do not weep. And he touched the coffin. The boy sat up. She received her son. Why? She received her son. This is what I'm talking about. Well, God doesn't do that today. He does if you believe. He's never stopped. God has never stopped doing it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus has never stopped healing you. Jesus has never stopped delivering you. Whatever areas in your life that is like, you know what, I don't really believe all of that. Wait a minute. He died for all of that. Even in Romans 12, I said, did I give you Romans 12? It says, bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. I mean, when it's a done deal, that's a good time to weep. But it's never over when you got Jesus on your side. I don't care what the situation is. And if we can get to the place to where it's like, okay, there's nothing that God can't do. I just got to get myself into the believing part. There's nothing that God can't do. I got to believe. I got to condition my heart and condition myself to believe and to believe his word. It doesn't matter if you're starting right here and it's just like, okay, I'm just believing for this thing right here. You know, I'm just getting, you know, sickness just coming in my body all the time. Okay, get to the place to where, all right, you may be able to stand against it and you might be able to take a little medicine. That's okay. But do it by faith. I said, and then it tries to come later on. It may try to come up on you again. I said, now be stern. The more and more you do it, the more aggressive you're going to get with it, and do it out of love. But the more aggressive you're going to get with the word, and then pretty soon it'll just be like, you can just say in the name of Jesus, that thing will just leave your body. How? Do it all the time. I haven't had any migraines. I've had opportunities for migraines to come back, but in the name of Jesus, you be gone. About 20 seconds later, I'm good. Why? Because it started the first time. I used to just take Excedrin, pop them in, the extra strength. Came out here that last time. The last time I was done with it. When you're sick and tired of being what? Sick and tired. I was done with it. And I like telling this story because I don't know if it riles up Dean. I came out here and blasted the music. And I shouted in the dark for an hour and a half until it was done. I was done with this junk. No more. Why? He took it. It's not my headaches. It's not my migraine anymore. I don't have to deal with this tumor in my body. Well, nothing. It doesn't line up with the word of God. If it lines up with the word, receive it. If it doesn't, reject it. Simple as that. All things are possible to him who believes. I want everybody in here to be able, when you're ready to go home, hey, I'm ready. It doesn't have to be anything sad about it or what have you. We'll miss it, but it's like, hey, you know I'm going home, right? You know this week, later on this week, I'm going home, right? What do you mean? You are? Yeah. I'm ready. We're thinking in our mind, I used to think that I had to die of some type of a sickness or disease in order for me to check out here. That was some warped thinking. That's when I was working at the Daily. Literally had this thought going through my mind. I'm thinking, the only way I'm going to be able to check out of here is with some type of cancer. That is stupid. Jesus said in Matthew 12, 35, 36, he says, by your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. My words were saying I had to check out of here with some type of a sickness or disease, and that is not true. It makes a difference when you're hearing the gospel preached. It makes a difference when you have people who stand in faith. It makes a difference when you know people who believe the way you believe based upon the word of God and not somebody else's story. You don't have to check out of here like that. I'm telling you, if you've been saying that, stop it in the name of Jesus and believe in him. You don't have to wait till you see a miracle. It's in his word. Believe in him. Philip, if you don't believe my words, at least believe my works. But come on, we got to get to the place where we believe his words, because he is the word made flesh. Believe in the name of Jesus. Believe for finances. Believe to be debt free. Believe it. Believe that God will pour out so much blessing on you that you'll be able to help those that need it. And then you can show them how to do it. Why? Because it isn't just for you. It's to help other people. Believe it. There's no way I can do. Stop saying that. There is a way. He is the way. And he's made a way. All you have to do is receive it, believe it, speak it, act on it. I hear people talk about, man, you know, when people are going through depression, just let them. I said, listen, you don't have to live on antidepressants for the rest of your life. I talked about that one young man who thought he would have to live with depression. Showed him the word. And he's like, and he came to the conclusion, I don't have to live that way anymore. He isn't. You know what he's doing? He's working in the mental health field, helping people. And he would have been a person that would have needed help in his life if he would have continued down that road. You don't have to live with depression, ever. That's the norm. Well, that's not the norm in the Bible. The norm in the Bible is you're healed. That's the norm. I don't know how people get to that place where they get depressed, but here's the thing. I'm going to say this. Fix your eyes on Jesus rather than the problem. You worry about the problem all the time? It's going to get you. And worrying is just meditating on negative things. That's all it is. Meditate on the good things. Think heavenly things. Meditate on the right stuff. Meditate on your marriage being blessed. Meditate on your kids listening to you every time you open up your mouth. You know what's so important? Man, I came out. I went through the drive-thru, the Tommy's car wash. And I was driving, and there was a family that was drying their car off on the side, you know. And then a little kid ran out, and the dad, haste! And the kid stopped. Now, that does something to me, because guess what? I got hit. So every time I see that, I'm like, my goodness, thank you, Jesus. But I'm thankful that he listened to his dad. And sometimes teenagers don't want to listen to their dads and their parents. Listen to them. Why? Because they're trying to keep you from hell. They're trying to keep you from being. you know, from the enemy just allowing them to come into your life and destroy you. They're saying it for a reason. Listen to that voice. So every time you do this, oh, here's my dad's voice is in the back of my head. I can't do this. Because they love you. Listen. They're saving you from death. But get to the place where you believe in the name of Jesus. Stop speaking what you see and start speaking what you want to see based upon his word. Lord, I thank you that we have a church overflowing. I can talk about all the empty chairs here, but guess what? The empty chairs aren't here, so I'm going to prophesy over these empty chairs. Be filled in the name of Jesus. In a youth, be filled, overflow in the name of Jesus. In children's church, be filled, overflowing in all the classrooms, be filled and overflowing in the name of Jesus. I thank you, not just people who are just here, but people who give. It's one thing just to be sucking the life out of everything. We don't want to do that. I used to do that. God wants you to be a servant. And you can't be the greatest in the kingdom if you don't serve. You want to be the greatest? He served. At the Last Supper, Jesus put a towel around his waist and he began to wash his disciples' feet. He didn't do that every single week, but he was demonstrating something. If you want to be the greatest, you're going to have to be the least. We don't prop anybody up in here but Jesus. And if you've been trying to prop me up, stop it in the name of Jesus. You've been trying to prop up somebody else, other pastor, stop it. Some other speaker online, stop it. It's the name of Jesus. He's on that pedestal and no one else. There's nothing wrong with liking someone else. I don't get jealous. I'm not a jealous pastor. I don't get jealous if you like Philip Anthony Mitchell. I don't get jealous if you like Andrew Womack. They're good speakers. They're good men of God. I'm not that type. But if you don't like me, I'm going to preach even longer. No, believe in the name of Jesus. You can't go wrong with that. Father God, we speak to fear right now in the name. We command it to leave, those that are just hesitant to step into what you've called them to. And I'm not talking about ministry here, Lord. I'm just talking about their ministry out there in their homes and at their workplaces, Lord. They're afraid to step out. We just cancel that out right now in the name. We cancel that fear out of their lives. And I thank you for the boldness that you have placed on the inside of them to go out and share your word, share their faith. Share about their personal relationship with you, Lord. I thank you for it. And I speak the tumors. Again, we speak to all of it, Lord, and we command it to leave. It is not theirs. We thank you, Lord, for supernatural healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you because there is nothing that you can't do. And we believe it. We believe in your name, Jesus. We thank you and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. If there's anyone here who's dealing with some stuff right now, and you need not to be prayed for it to come out, raise your hand and we'll get you healed and delivered. Hallelujah. What is it? What's that? Tumor? Stand on up. We call it out right now in the name of Jesus. We command you to fall out of that body right now, Lord. We speak healing and deliverance in your body, in Anita's body right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you. You have no right to be there. You cursed tumor. You have no right to be in her body. And we thank you, Lord, for supernatural healing in her body from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. We call it out right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Come here. What we talked about? Come on, somebody. Well, you stand right here in the name of Jesus.
Right?
Hallelujah. Do not weep and wail for no one in here until they said, hey, I'm going on to be with the Lord. Don't do it prematurely. You live your life by faith in Jesus. Anyone else? I don't want to leave you out because you're not going to leave here the same. Huh? Yes. You're leaving healed. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand. Let's stand. Let's stand. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.